All right, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another episode of Harvest Now Conversations. As you can see, we've got a new face here, Pan to Camille. That's Camille. She is part of the worship team, and so fitting that we're going to be talking about worship today, continuing on our monthly theme of honor. So there's a lot of honor to do with worship, and I thought, how better to talk about worship than to ask our worship team about worship. So joined with me today is Gerard.
Hello.
Is Cheyenne.
Yep.
Camille. And Keith.
Hello.
All right. So jumping straight into the first question, what is everyone's understanding of worship? So let's start, Gerard.
So I'll start off with what worship isn't. So it's not Christian karaoke. It's not some songs to be sung while we wait for the late people.
Mm.
It's definitely not that. And it's not one fast song and two slow songs at the start of service. So that's not what worship is. So essentially what worship is, because I've looked into it, the word worship in the Hebrew in the Old Testament means to literally bow down and show reverence to. And in the same, it's the same thing for the New Testament. So the scripture that I've been looking at, Genesis 22:5, is for the Old Testament. So then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." So if you look at it at a historical context, Abraham didn't bring the worship team, didn't bring the sound guy, the speakers and everything to sacrifice Isaac. So what did he do? He bowed down before God. He honored him. So that's what worship is in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, John 4:20, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." So this is coming from the woman at the well. She's asking Jesus. So worship here in the Greek means to kiss the ground when prostrating before a superior. It means to fall down and prostrate oneself to adore on one's knees. Right? So it's more than just a song. It's more than just, it's pretty much just love and adoration for God, showing reverence to Him, showing honor to Him, being on your knees. When you're on your knees for someone, you're acknowledging that they're higher than you are. So that is my understanding of worship.
Yeah. Cheyenne, what is yours?
So, yeah. I was going to mention that time where Abraham, like God approached Abraham and like was telling him to sacrifice Isaac. And we've all heard before that, you know, that's the first time worship is mentioned in the Bible, the word worship. And yes, that's that Hebrew word for it. And as I was thinking about it and meditating on it, like what was the purpose of, you know, the whole purpose of sacrificing and putting something on the altar is to place an offering, right? And that was, you know, in the Old Testament, it was an offering to, you know, in repentance of sins, so that your sin could be forgiven, so that you could go further into the courts of the temple. So with that in mind, like to me, worship is coming into the presence, offering that sacrifice. So if that was the Old Testament, like, praise God, like New Testament, Jesus paid the perfect price. And I've been stuck in Hebrews for the past couple weeks, just meditating on, you know, the whole point of Jesus paying that price and being on the cross, shedding his blood, is so that we could come into the presence of God and worship, like, intimately. So being in the presence of God, being able to come into intimate fellowship with the Father and being able to come into the most holy place with Him. So, yes. But yes, there's much more to say, but maybe these guys.
Okay.
Yeah, you much more to say, but you say so much, you guys. So what I'm going to say is something very short and sweet, okay? This is my understanding, okay?
First time on the podcast, the rest of the body.
Hello. Okay, this is my understanding. This is how I condense it, so I can, like, okay, my reminder. Back in the Old Testament, worship was offering. It was a sacrifice, and that was their requirement, the law of Moses, you know. But now in our new covenant, in the New Testament, what I understand worship is, it is our response back to the Father. That is our offering. We no longer have to shed blood because Jesus was that perfect lamb that already shed his blood for us as that offering, that sacrifice. So it's like our worship is just acknowledging that and reverting our eyes back to the Father and saying, God, this is my offering. Mm. This is my understanding that you offered your whole life. So my response is naturally, it should be naturally, to give my whole life back, give everything back. Yeah, that's my understanding.
Yeah.
Very good
understanding.
Awesome.
Yeah, Keith.
Yeah, well, Camille is very much similar to Camille's response. And I made this personal to me and I thought, Lord, what is worship? Well, surely just not music or playing a slow song on a Sunday morning or whenever you have a service. But worship to me is my personal love letter back to God in response of what he has already done and what he continues to do and what he will always do. So I choose to respond out of love and give back everything that he has given me to him and to everyone I meet, because when you're in his presence and you experience God, you can't help but share him, and you can't help letting people know how good he is. So there's a strong desire the more time you spend with God and giving him praise, acts of worship, open your mouth, give him praise, tell him how good he is. You begin to desire the things he desires for you, and that's what worship is for me. I choose to, I enjoy to follow what he's given me to do. So that's my answer, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to just add in a verse. So it's Matthew 15, and I'll read 3-9 in the Passion Translation. So it says, Jesus answered, "And why do you ignore the commandment of God because of your traditions? For didn't God say, 'Honor your father and mother,' and whoever abuses or insults his father or mother must be put to death? But you teach that it is permissible to say to your parents when they are in financial need, 'Whatever gift that you have received from me, I can keep for myself, since I dedicated it as an offering to God.' This does not honor your father or mother, and you have elevated your tradition above words of God. Frauds and hypocrites, Isaiah described you perfectly when he said, 'These people honor me only with their words, for their hearts are very distant from me.'" And so from there, we learn that worship has very little to do with what comes out of your mouth, but has everything to do with the position of your heart. So just like what these guys have all said, it is a position. So what Gerard said was a prostration to the Lord. Your position is prostrated to the Lord. And then Camille was talking about how it is expressed. So worship is a heart position, and we just so happen to express our worship through music, through songs. And I found that a lot of the time people get that mixed, where they think it's just the moment of expression that's worship, when it isn't. It's everything to do with your heart. So what this verse is saying here is these guys don't do all this stuff in the background. They have honored tradition above what the word says. And Jesus says to them, "You're a hypocrite." So a way to bring that into now is like, how can you have fights at home? How can you display animosity to your friends and family? How can you have attitudes? How can you have unforgiveness and like still keep, like still entertain that and still like live with that and not want to do anything about that, and then still come to church on Sunday and then like, oh, holy, you know, praise God and all that stuff. Like it's almost fake. It is fake. And that's what he's saying there. Like, you're a hypocrite. It's everything to do with where your heart is at. Does anyone have anything to add?
Just one more thing. I remember ages ago when we had a worship night, Jamison was sharing, and he brought up Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And it says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." And when I think of, you know, something that is spiritual, you know, what's the difference between spiritual worship and, you know, any other type of worship? When we approach things in the spiritual, it's in its truest form. Yeah. It's in its purest form. And when Jesus met that lady at the well, he was saying, "There will come a time where my people will worship me in spirit and in truth." and so in its truest form. Yeah, so a good example of this, a biblical example of a living sacrifice is, again, in Hebrews chapter 10. I'll quickly share, and then we can move on. But in verse 5 to 7, and I'm reading from NLT, and it says, "That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, 'You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God, as is written about me in the scriptures.'" So again, it's about obedience. It's about living a life of obedience and sacrifice. And yeah, so that's, yeah, that's worship.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. Yeah. All right, so the next question is corporate worship. So we come together on a Sunday or any other meeting to worship together. And a lot of the time, the feedback, at least that I've received, is, why should we do that? Can't I just worship on my own? Why do I have to come? Why do I have to drive all the way out there? I can do it on my own. So what is the point of corporate worship? Do you have the answer, Gerard?
Somewhat. I feel like you do, though. But in Proverbs, it says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own way and goes away from sound judgment.
Wow.
So if just from the heart of someone who's asked that, you can see where they're wanting to go. Like, they don't want to be part of that corporate corporate environment. They want to do things their own way.
Yep.
But it's never been about our own way. It's about his way.
That's right.
Right? So in a church sense, it's when we, together as a family of God, we get to just adore and love the Father together. In the Psalms, it says how good and pleasing it is when our brothers and sisters dwell together. So having that in mind, and in Psalm 22:22 as well, the psalmist says, "I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you." So the point is, the Bible says to do it. Just like how the Bible says to lift your hands. Like, for me, the Bible's enough. I don't need to have anything behind it saying why. Why do I need to do that? I need to do it because the Bible says so. But that's just the way I'm wired. So apologies to anyone else who's looking for a why we need to do that, other than my answer, which is the Bible says to do it. Because the Bible is the word of God. David was a man after God's own heart, so I reckon he's got the right gist, right? So in terms of that heart attitude of I can just do it at home, the Proverbs thing is the thing that really struck a chord in me, because you know, sometimes I don't want to be around people, but you know, you go there and you actually start feeling good. You feel good after. It's like, you know, there's days where you don't want to exercise. You're like, you're dreading it. You don't even want to be there while you're working out. You finish the workout and you're like, wow, I'm really glad I came and worked out. It's the same sort of thing with the corporate worship.
Cheyenne.
So it's just encouraging to be around people that, you know, that you know probably have a higher level of faith than you do. It's encouraging to see people and to see a living example of people offering something, to have a common goal of, like, why you're there, to have a common goal. And that we're all there just to seek Jesus, to seek after him, to know, to come into his presence. And there's something that, like, really brings you, like, something about unity that really, like, you know, spurs each other, like we spur each other on. And in Hebrews, you know, it says, don't neglect in meeting together, but encourage each other. And I think in the simple meeting together for that same common goal, is that in itself is super encouraging for me. Because, people, time is so precious. And if you've given up your time to come here to seek after God, man, like, this is something that's worth time to do. And so everyone has that same common goal. And about unity, and there's something about like singing together.
Yeah.
There's just something about it. Yeah. Like me and Camille back in like primary school, we were in choir and like singing together. And it might be like, you know, we were singing Reach for the Stars. Those kind of stuff, like, yeah, yeah, isn't it? And it's like those moments are probably some of the only times that I remember from primary school. And and when I was listening to this guy, David Goggins, and he was talking about his training as a Navy SEAL, and when they chant together, like talking about like how many push-ups they're doing, like 1, 2, but they're all shouting together. Yeah. And it's, one might feel weak, but being surrounded by people that like are so like are there, and they're there together. there's something really powerful about it. So yeah, there's power in unity, there's power in agreement. And
Camille, what's the point of corporate worship to you?
What's the point? Okay. How I see is the church is the body of Christ. There are many, many parts of the body.
Yeah.
Yes, one person may feel, what's the point? I can do it at home. But one may feel like this is the only time where I can, you know, I can put my kids to Sunday school, and I can be together with my family, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's that same thing, that unity, right? That unity. Yeah, people right next to you stirring you on, but also believing in that same thing. And it's that one thing on the Sundays, maybe it could be for one person where, like, you know, throughout the whole week, they are just being bombed with, bombarded with other, you know, issues of life and other circumstances. But hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the church. Thank you, Lord, for Sunday service. Yes. Yeah, that's how I see it.
Okay. That's good. Keith.
Yeah, as we've heard, and like Gerard and Shane were sharing, it says don't neglect coming together. And for me, like, it's sharing a common goal and vision. We all have something, whether we believe it or not, we all have something to contribute. And I know that we can sometimes feel, I'm just going to stay at home and have my own time. It's not necessarily a bad thing to have your own time. Like, own time with God, great. What if there's a word for you in season and the devil distracts you and you don't end up going to church, but it's a word for you? There's always purpose. Well, there should be always purpose in each service because it's run by the Holy Spirit. And we all have our gifts that we need to activate and start operating in.
That's right.
So we can see where each person fits in the body with a vision.
Yeah.
And it's encouraging to see other people step into their calling. So we can, like, as iron sharpens iron, we need to surround ourselves. If we want to become like the wise, be around the wise. And where does wisdom come from? God. So if we want to experience the good things of God, it's great to be in the company of fellow believers who believe the word and operate in the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, there's no power and there's no real move of God.
Yeah.
We are powerless.
Yeah.
So coming together, there's a sense of unity and the expectation, like when we're praying together, when we're singing together, there's something about it that I don't even think I can put a word to. Mm. But it's like wave after wave that you just have to hop on and really see in your faith eye, yes, this is where God is directing the church to go. This is where he's directing us to go next, individually and as a church.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't always get that when you're on your own. You need to be around people who hear from God. You know, sometimes it's a prophecy, sometimes it's just a word of encouragement that you just need in part of your journey to go to the next. Mm. We all need people. It's like running a company. You need other people to help you get onto the next step, because you can't do everything on your own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. So I'll just add some scripture to what you guys have already shared. So the first scripture I want to bring is 2 Chronicles 5:13. So it says, And it was the duty of the trumpeters and singers to make themselves heard in unison in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And when the song was raised with trumpets and cymbals and other musical instruments in praise to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever, the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. And that word cloud, in other translations, it says glory. Mm. And what we've learned from Pastor Larry is glory is the manifest presence of God. And so we see in this, just in this example, it says, once they all sang together and played together in unison, in one accord, that's when the glory of the Lord came. Our pastors have talked about corporate anointing before, the phrase corporate anointing. And I used to get annoyed at it because I don't see it in the Bible. So it's not a word that's in the Bible. But just from this one instance, it's a concept that can be seen. So had they met just physically, one, like an individual person just meeting by himself, I don't know if this would happen. But it's in here and it makes a point of saying that they were singing in unison and they were playing in unison and the glory came. But that's Old Testament, right?
Mm.
You know, sometimes people's refute to that is, oh, now we got the Holy Spirit. Now we can worship on our own by ourselves. But let's look at Acts 16:25. So this is Paul and Silas. All right, so Acts 16:25. So Paul and Silas are in jail. Mm. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So Paul and Silas. So it was the two of them singing hymns in unison. And then suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. So just like what Camille was saying, sometimes people come in with their own burdens. Just from our unity in singing hymns and praising God, everyone in the prison was released.
Mm.
Like there's a, the Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke.
Yep.
Right? And this corporate anointing is a concept that's real.
Mm.
There's, it's in the Bible that when people come together and there's unity, there's a greater result.
Mm.
Than there would be if you just came alone.
Mm.
Another place is everyone should know about the Tower of Babel. Everyone was in complete unity, was speaking the same language, and they had one vision in mind, right? And they had one vision to build the tower all the way to heaven, which is an impossible feat. But they were getting to a place where they're going to make a tower that tall. And it was because of unity.
Mm.
So imagine a church that comes together, they're singing in unity with one vision of just lifting up God, right? And I think once you get that understanding that, you know, we're not just here to fill in the time just before the preaching, we're here to come together in unity to lift up God together as a body. So by ourselves, we're not the body of Christ.
Mm.
But collectively we are.
Mm.
And
mm-hmm.
when we come together, we form the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
singing back to him. And it becomes this communion type of thing.
Mm.
You know, we're all one and we're singing to him in one accord. And then that's when his glory comes. And that's, I think, is exciting when we all are in unity. I feel that I'm extremely susceptible to unity. Even just Pitch Perfect 3.
I knew it.
What did you knew?
I knew.
What did you knew?
What did you knew?
I knew we're going to be like this. Unity, as Unity came up.
Yeah.
Pitch Perfect 3.
Pitch Perfect 3. So if you guys haven't seen Pitch Perfect 3.
You should.
It's anointed. I don't know. But there's just unity in it. And even just unity without the Spirit of God, there's power already. And like this world was designed by God. Maybe not the system of the world, but creation was created by God. And there's something about unity. Like, and what happens at the end of Pitch Perfect 3 is the Barden Bellas, they're losing. They're losing the competition.
Are these the main guys?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, the Barden Bellas are losing to the Germans, and they have the idea to bring back all the Barden Bellas of old to come in and surprise everybody. So it ended up being this huge group. And normally they're like, what, 20? But then it became like 100. And then they got everyone in the crowd to sing their song and everyone to sing in unison and all everyone to wave their flashlight in unity. And that affected me. Right? That was, that just
did
marked,
you cry?
It did, it made me cry. It marked my heart. And there's just something about it. And just with the protest in Israel, like apparently they've made Christianity or preaching about Christianity illegal there. And so they've protested, the Christians in Israel have protested, and you see videos of the multitudes of people just singing out Jesus's name. And I just watch that and I get chills. Like that many people are coming together for one purpose, just to sing about Jesus. And I'm like, wow, that's just wonderful. Like everyone is now giving themselves to something greater.
Yeah.
And I think that's amazing. Just like what Gerard said, like with one person just seeking to do things on their own, they're only seeking to do things for themselves. And that's ugly. But to come together and to give yourself to someone that's higher and greater is amazing. And yeah, there's just a quality to unity that you can't replace. All right, so that's enough for this episode. I wanted to make these shorter so that I can edit them easier. But we'll come back next week with the next one soon, and we're going to be finishing off this topic on worship. We have some more, a lot more to say. But yeah, we'll finish off with prayer. And could we get, no one's looking at me, I will pray.
Hallelujah.
I was looking at Camille.
Camille will pray in the next one.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for this, for everyone listening. I just thank you, Lord, for your blessing over them. Father, I thank you for meeting them where they are at right now. Lord, you see the troubles, you see the hurt that they're going through. You're not blind to it. I thank you, Father, for meeting them where they are at. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you see everything that they've sown in secret. You see everything that they've done for you in secret. And Lord, I thank you that you are bringing that to the surface, and you're going to reward them publicly in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for everything that we've shared today. Lord, let it bear fruit in everyone's churches, in everyone's lives, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for inclining our hearts to want to know you more, and inclining our hearts to be put in a position of true worship. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give you all glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. See you next week.
See
goodbye.
Ya.
Thank you for tuning in to Harvest Now Conversations. We hope you got something out of it and want to stay connected. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Harvest Now Church to make sure you don't miss out on any future content. You can also message us at contact@harvestnowchurch.com to suggest a topic to talk about or to ask us a question. Until next time, stay blessed and see you in the next podcast.